is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Welcome to Rogue Talk, and I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for October 19th, 2018, and we have got another great show planned for you today. My featured guest today will be the principal at South Valley Academy, Morgan Cottle. And if you're asking yourself, what is South Valley Academy? Well, that's why Morgan's here. We're going to find out everything you wanted to know about Rogue River School District's newest school, South Valley Academy. But before we get to that, let's take a look at things going on around town and around the school. Of course, probably the biggest thing going on is nationally, we have an election coming up. It's getting close. The ballots have gone out here in Oregon. I think my ballot came in the mail yesterday. And along with the ballot, there's that very, very thick this time around, the voter pamphlet. And I would encourage you to get a hold of one of those if you didn't get yours in the mail. Pick up one of those voter pamphlets because I think it's important that we vote, but I think it's more important that you're informed when you vote. In fact, you know, we see a lot of this, you know, go out and vote campaigns, you know, get out the vote, rock the vote, all of that. And I'm all for it. I want people to vote, but I would prefer that people vote with some knowledge of what they're voting on and not just, you know, if you just kind of go through life and don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on, you're probably only going to be able to vote on things based on, you know, maybe one ad you saw on TV or one sound clip you heard about a certain candidate, and that doesn't really make you very informed. So I'm not really one of those rock the vote, get everybody to vote. I would prefer that people that are actually paying attention voted. And again, it's a responsibility. It's also a right in this country to be able to go out and vote. But you know, I'm not quite on board with the rah rah rah, get out there, everybody vote. Because I think a lot of people vote that are very uninformed, and if they really understood the issues at hand, or if they really took the time to know what the candidates were about, they might have voted a little differently. But they just go by the quick little sound bites or commercials that they see, and they don't really dig into the issue. So you know, I definitely encourage people to, you know, it's an important responsibility we have in this society to go out and vote, but get yourself educated about it. And that starts with the voter pamphlet, but then go from there, find your own other resources, you know, to pick. And you know, the other thing I would say is don't use a litmus test for your candidates. You know, there's going to be candidates that maybe don't stand up for everything that you believe, but they're still better than the other candidate. And that's okay. Voting for candidates is generally a binary choice. I mean, sometimes there's several candidates, but frankly, it almost always comes down to either the Republican or the Democrat is going to win. In some states, you don't even have that choice. You know, they have those open primaries where the top two vote getters go to the general. And so you could only be voting on two Democrats or two Republicans. But in most cases, you have a choice. And just because they have a party label doesn't mean you automatically should choose the Democrat or choose the Republican. But when you choose not to vote, you've given a vote to the person that you would have never voted for. So what I'm saying is there's two people to vote for. One of them, you know, maybe they don't stand where you stand on every issue or even on a lot of issues, but maybe on a couple of key issues, they stand with you. You need to vote for that candidate. There's not another choice. One of those two candidates is going to win the election. And when you don't vote because you're applying some litmus test to your candidate, you're giving your vote to that other candidate because that's one less vote that they need in order to win because your vote didn't go for the candidate that you should be supporting. So I would remind you, it's a binary choice. Nobody's ever going to agree with people 100% of the time. Again, from my perspective, a little bit at least, we have a similar scenario that we had in the presidential election 2 years ago here in Oregon for the governor's election. I'm not super crazy about the Republican candidate, even though I generally vote Republican. There's a lot of things he's saying I don't like. But, and, you know, I'm giving away my politics here, although most of you already know what they are. I'm not afraid to talk about them. I don't like the other candidate. I'm willing to vote in this case for the Republican candidate because even if it just gets someone on a few key issues that I agree with, that's still better than the binary alternate choice of the other candidate that I agree with almost nothing on. So again, get educated on where these candidates stand. You know, I could definitely see a scenario where I would vote for the candidate from another party if that was the better choice. But you have to know what they stand on. You need to educate yourself about these things. But again, it's a binary choice. Vote for the candidate that best falls under where you want them to be. They're not going to be perfect, but if you don't vote, you've given that other candidate that you absolutely do not want to win, you've given them an easier road to a victory. So that would be what I've got to say about that. But again, we've got a couple of weeks out before the election. But again, the ballots have been mailed out. The pamphlets are available. Get yourself educated on that. So that's about all I've got to talk about national news. Going more locally, we talked about the Rogue River FFA last week, that they nicely finished second place at the district soils competition. Well, they weren't happy with that result, so they went to the state competition in Union, and they took first place. They were the champions, state champions in the soil judging competition. And so a big shout out to Rogue River FFA for getting that done. And not only that, but that qualifies them to represent Oregon at the national competition. So great job to the Rogue River FFA. We're proud of you kids, and we know you're going to continue doing great things. So we're super happy about that. So let's shift gears a little bit here to sports. And the sports season's starting to wrap up. We're in the last couple of weeks of the sports seasons coming up here. Girls soccer, they've got a couple more games coming up this coming week, and then their season will be done. But last Saturday, they went to U.S. Cellular Fields, and they lost to Cascade Christian 7-1. And then, unfortunately, again, back over at U.S. Cellular Fields on Wednesday, they lost a 9-0 game against St. Mary's. Boys soccer, last Saturday, also over at U.S. Cellular, they lost to St. Mary's 11-1. But then the boys were able to bounce back on Wednesday. They went to Paisley and were a 4-2 winner at Paisley. The volleyball team finished their season this week. And actually, they were playing while we were on the air last Friday. They lost that match at Bonanza 3-0, three sets to none. Tuesday, they hosted Illinois Valley. They lost 3-1. And Thursday, they went to Lakeview and finished out the season with a 3-0 loss. So, been kind of a tough season for the volleyball team. They finished the season with a 1-10 league record, 2-13 overall. But not from lack of trying. I know the Rogue River Chieftain super fans were doing their best to root on the ladies, and they fought hard every night, just didn't have the results they were looking for, but we'll be looking forward to next season. And Cross Country had the week off. We'll let you know what they're doing next at the end of the show, as well as the rest of the schedule for the sports. And finally, football got back on the winning side of the ledger last week. They hosted... Now I don't have it in front of me. They hosted Illinois Valley. That's right. I was there. In fact, I broadcast the game right here on 94.3 The Bridge. It was an exciting last 3 minutes of the game, but the Chieftains come out on top 22-13. And we will have more about Chieftain football at the end of the show. And so that's all I've got for you in this first segment. We'll take a break and be back with Morgan Cottle from the South Valley Academy. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Penelope Wilkins finally went home from the hospital 9 months after her birth. She was born with her heart beating outside her chest and had no breastbone to support a rib cage. The first of many surgeries took place when she was just 1 hour old. Doctors identified the problem only 9 weeks into Naomi's pregnancy and gave the baby less than a 10% chance of living. They recommended abortion, but the parents said no. Their daughter defied the odds with a condition so rare she was Britain's first survivor. But if her parents had followed the doctor's advice and aborted Penelope, there'd be no celebration now. God has given this baby life and sustained her through incredibly difficult times. Now, let's see what he has planned for her.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. November 6th, right around the corner, and President Trump is out campaigning for Republican candidates. Last night, he was in Montana. President Trump in Mesa, Arizona. This evening, Elko, Nevada. Nevada, that is, tomorrow, midday, Saturday. He'll be in Houston on Monday, Wisconsin on Wednesday, the 24th. Afghanistan's Election Commission has postponed Saturday's elections in Kandahar province for a week following a deadly attack there that killed at least two senior provincial officials, including its powerful police chief. The Independent Election Commission's deputy spokesman says the decision on the postponement was made to allow mourners to observe funeral rites for the slain police chief Abdul Razik, as well as others that were killed in the attack. On Wall Street, the Dow ending up 65 to 25,444. NASDAQ down 36. S&P closing down 1. For more details, srnnews.com.
When the world seems a little crazy, we are radio you can count on.
You can count on.
94.3.
The Bridge. The Bridge.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. The Boston Red Sox are baseball's American League champions for the first time since their World Series run of 2013. David Price worked six shutout innings last night. The Red Sox belted two home runs off Justin Verlander in a 4-1 victory over the Astros in Houston. Price says,
I should continue to tell myself, you know, just stay in the moment. You know, don't worry about the next hitter. Don't think about the next pitch. Just stay right here, and you know, I was able to do that tonight, and you know, it paid off, and that was one of the more special nights I've ever had on the baseball field.
Boston ended the Astros' reign as champions by sweeping the final four games of the series. Red Sox 5-0 on the road this postseason as they seek their fourth crown in 15 years. They open the World Series at home against either the Dodgers or the Brewers. Those two teams meet in Game 5 of their series tonight. Dodgers up 3-2. This is SRN Sports. NFL Thursday Night Football, the Denver Broncos made life miserable for Arizona quarterback Josh Rosen while ending a four-game losing streak. Rosen had two interceptions, returned for first-quarter touchdowns, and had five turnovers. as the Cardinals absorbed a 45-10 beating by the Broncos. Todd Davis returned the rookie Rosen's deflected pass for a touchdown on the second play of the game, and things went downhill from there. In the NBA yesterday, three games. It was Portland over LeBron and the Lakers, 128-119. Heat 113, Wizards 112, and Philadelphia beat the Bulls 127-108. In the National Hockey League yesterday, Islanders 7, Kings 2, Sharks over the Sabres 5-1. The Oilers beat Boston 3-2 in overtime. Arizona 4, Chicago 1, Jets over Vancouver by a 4-1 score. Tampa Bay 3, Red Wings 1. It was the Penguins defeating Toronto 3-0. Columbus 6, Philadelphia 3. This is SRN Sports.
Back to Road Talk, and now joining me in the studio, the principal at a school you may not have heard of, but you're going to find out all about it today. Morgan Cottle is the principal at South Valley Academy, Rogue River's newest school. Welcome to Road Talk, Morgan.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy to have you here. Now, I had Jamie Wright and I had Chris Carmakey on here a few weeks back, and they said, you need to get the principal from the new school. And I had almost forgotten that we had a new school. So, for start, before we dive into what the school is, what it's all about, where it is, let's learn a little bit about you. Where do you come from, Morgan?
Yeah, I've been a Rogue Valley resident my whole life. Born and raised in Ashland and came back and started my teaching career there.
We won't hold that against you.
Yeah, no, I know. I love my hometown. I loved teaching there. I spent 26 years in the elementary classroom. In the middle of that, spent a couple of years working at the district level with technology and technology integration, making sure that teachers were using it in the right way, effective ways. And then after that, spent the last 2 years working at the three-county level, so helping 13 school districts in Jackson, Joe, and Klamath County from the Southern Oregon ESD. Technology integration, data analysis, all that type of work. And that's when April and Paul approached me and said, hey, we have an idea. We think you're the guy and maybe help us out. And that idea was to just try something differently. And I was intrigued. I liked what I was doing at the ESD, and it took something real special to pull me away from that. And the idea they had really caught my attention.
Okay, well, that leads us right to what we brought you here to talk about. What is South Valley Academy? What do you do there? Who are the students that would want to go there or that are going there? Let's kind of dive in and see where it goes.
You know, Rogue River School District recognized that they had some 300-plus students that lived within their service boundary that were not attending their public schools. And so that question became, why? What is going on with the Rogue River School District? Why are these families not attending our schools? So we took a real hard look at that clientele, that population of families and students. And we decided to open a new public school that is online curriculum, but a brick-and-mortar environment. And we refer to that in kind of education ease as a blended environment. So we're blending that role of online curriculum, but still making sure that we have a brick-and-mortar facility housed by trained and certified staffs to help students out. And it's very unique. There's only two schools in the state right now that are doing that. Winter Lakes Academy up in the Coquille area and us. And ODE is very excited by what we're doing. When we, you know, starting a school from scratch, I've learned a lot of what I, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And when we were talking with the Department of Education, there's a whole range of classification that you can start a school, from a public school to charter to a program to a fully online to a virtually online. There's all these classifications to alternative. And we wanted to make sure that everybody knows we are a public school. We're not a program, we're not a charter, we're not an alternative. All of those have different realities and perceptions. And so to get the word out that we are a public school who just does things differently.
Okay, well, and that was one of the things that came to my mind when I first heard about we were going to have this new school. was my first thought was, well, it sounds like another charter school, and we already had connected to the district, we already had a charter school, so I was curious about that. So you mentioned it's not a charter school, it's considered a public school. What is the difference? And I hope I'm asking the right person. It sounds like you're pretty knowledgeable on this, so I'm sure you can answer it. What is the difference between a charter school and what you're describing is this? We're already kind of getting an idea of what this school is looking like, but what is a charter school compared to what you're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so if you look at the difference between a public school and a charter school needs to be affiliated with a school district. So REACH, which does a wonderful job in this area, is affiliated and run in conjunction with Rogue River School District. There is accountability from both ends, from the school district to the charter and the charter back. And REACH has a cap limit of how many students that they are allowed to have. And they've done a great job of just staying right at that cap. But the school district said, well, let's look at that. Can we offer kind of a like-minded approach to education and have those students be part of a regular public school environment? There are some benefits to being part of the public school as a student and as a family. Programs that maybe we don't run because our curriculum is online. Drama, FFA, those students are still at South Valley Academy, part of the Rogue River School District, and can go over and participate in those. Want to play football? I'm not going to have a football team for quite a while. Let's get you involved because you are a Rogue River School District student. Let's get you up there and make you part of that program there. So there's some real benefits to kind of taking that charter mentality of approach, yet at the same time being public school.
So a lot of people, I think, they think of a charter school or a charter style, and this sounds mm-hmm. like it's similar in the way it's organized as like a charter school, but more connected to the district. So is this school giving opportunities to kids? And again, this is kind of coming from what's in my brain, but not necessarily from the facts because I've never mm-hmm. really dug into this. Is this school set up for kids that maybe don't fit into the normal learning environment of a standard public school?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons, and that's a great question because we had to look at that. Why? What are the reasons behind a family or a student not participating in the more traditional public school setting? And we found a lot of reasons. We found students that want a more accelerated approach to learning. And they say, I'm sitting in class, my backside in the seat 6.5 hours a day, and I understand all of this. I didn't learn anything new today. And they want to accelerate their approach. We have students that are, all students, I know when I taught fifth grade, that what does that mean? I've got a kid who's eighth grade math, but he's also third grade reading. And so our approach, especially with the online curriculum, is that we can do a more personalized approach to learning. So if you call it a PEP, a personal education plan. And so literally my students right now are, a student will be all over the board in their classes. And I can customize each subject to match where they are. Meet them where they're at and move forward. That's one of our mantras. It's figure out where they are. And we have one student who we thought maybe was sixth grade in a subject. She got in there like, nope, let's move her up, until we found that just nice place to where now it's just hard enough, but she's learning. It's not too easy, but not too frustrating. So we can make those on-the-fly changes to meet the students and combine that with a flexible schedule. Students come in when they want or need to. Young man who is working 6 to 2 Tuesday through Friday. Does his work at home in the evenings, and he shows up on Monday, and we work together on Monday with where he's at. Other students come in a few hours, Tuesdays and Thursday. So it's very flexible scheduling combined with that personal education approach, and we're very excited about it.
So is that where the online aspect comes in? Is the online portion of this kind of fill the gap for these students when they can't be at the brick-and-mortar school? They have access online. Is that kind of the the balance that's there. You're, like you mentioned, you have students that are working, you know, working a job and maybe out of necessity. You know, I've run into situations with students that were basically helping support their family, and so they needed to work. We used to see that a lot more in ranching families and whatnot, that the kids were part of the income. They were part of making sure that the cows got fed or whatever it happened to be. So is the online part of that, is that kind of where that bridge is made?
It is, and it allows that flexibility that, you know, our teaching staff can do a lot more teaching. The curriculum is there, and nothing's ever going to replace that community feel. And when we first were working on this model, I said, you know, if this is fully online, we don't have a brick and mortar, we don't have a place where kids can come in, I'm not interested. My whole life has been about building relationships with the students and families, building a sense of community. And so having that kind of dual approach, and you're thinking almost like a homeschool help school. You know, I can work with my own kid at home, but boy, I hit this math and I have no idea what to do. Can they come in? Absolutely. So any given day, we're not sure who's coming in. You may walk in our doors and we'll see, you know, seven kids one day, 5 days, you know, five kids another day, students in and out, but we're constantly having contact with the student and the family all week long.
So it sounds like with that sort of an arrangement, which is obviously super convenient for the students that are involved, you probably need a pretty flexible staff as well in order to meet those needs. And the, I mean, every day looks different, it sounds like. So tell us a little bit about the staff that you have there.
Yeah, it does take a unique group. And we were at a point, you know, we thought we had a couple of different physical, I'm going to back up a little bit, our physical location. We thought we had a couple of physical locations picked out and ran into code and building issues. So currently, we're in the music room of the West Elementary School, which is a great room. If you walk into it, it feels more like a cafe than it does a classroom. There's no individual desks, there's couches, there's larger tables, there's chairs. Students sit where they feel most comfortable to do their work. We are next Tuesday going in front of the city council to hopefully get final agreement on an empty bank location in town that'll double our space, give us some more private rooms. So I'm knocking on wood that'll happen next Tuesday. But our staff, for every approximately 30 students, we get to hire a new teacher. What I love about that concept is that I can then step back as a principal and say, where are our needs? Is it a half-time high school math and science? Is it an elementary-style person? So we can really, and it's very attractive to teachers in that it's almost like college hours. Okay, I'm going to hire a half-time math person. I want you on campus all day Tuesday and then pull another 10 hours from home remotely working with people. But you'll have, like, college hours. Here's my office hours. You need help in math and science, I'll be here from 2 to 6 or, 8 to 4. Here are the hours I'll be available. But I'll still make sure to answer all your questions online the other hours. So currently, the teaching staff is me. We're at 23 students. And so we're always being fiscally sound to the community of Rogue River. And so as we hit that 30 mark, now we can start looking expanding. Superintendent Young was just very clear to me, and I didn't listen, to start off slow. He really wanted to start off 4 or 5 students, end the year about 25. Well, we're at 23 a month into school. And the business manager loves it. Paul's just making sure we just take care. We have a fantastic classroom assistant who has a teaching degree in another state in art. So she brings a great experience into the classroom, not just art, but working with students, special ed background. She is fantastic. Our office manager came with me from the ESD, and she is all about systems. So we are very, very comfortable and pleased with being so young as a school, but really grounded in how we do things and how we're serving families and children.
So we're talking to Morgan Cottle. He is the principal at the new South Valley Academy, part of the Rogue River School District. And you mentioned the funding and that, of course, Paul takes a particular notice in that. We're talking about the superintendent of the district, of course, Paul Young. Where is the funding strictly out of the normal school funding, or was there some other funds that they went out to get in order to start the South Valley Academy?
Yeah, and again, Paul and Don can answer more specifically about this, but this is out of the normal funding from the state, and I believe that the state in the past had not funded correctly, so there were some additional dollars that came for that.
Yeah, I know our business manager in the district has done a really good job. I think that's Don
that
you mentioned.
Don, right.
Of finding places where there was funding available to us that we weren't taking advantage of, and mm-hmm. he's done a really good job of that. So I would imagine that has helped us be able to start something like this.
Right, and you might think of it as kind of startup dollars.
Sure, sure.
And they say, okay, we're willing to take this risk. It's not going to negatively impact any of the other schools or teachers. We can float this for a year or two and see if we can make this a viable operation. And we hit 30 kids, and we kind of broke even, if you look at it that way. You know, the funds follow the students.
Sure.
So we're looking for those students that currently are not being served by our schools. It doesn't necessarily help to have a student just transfer from Rogue River High over to us unless it really meets that student's needs. And we've had great discussions about this. Is this student thriving in a more traditional setting? Are there circumstances where the students could be gone a lot and potentially could get behind? Would they be better served by our model? So we have, and I'm really pleased to have such a great relationship, you know, with Chris and Jamie. We have lots of talks together, and the benefit of a small district. Doesn't take much to have us get together and talk as a staff of what are we doing for students? Are we meeting the needs of parents and families? And, okay, what about this child? And it's been great. I had great discussions with families that have been reluctant to jump into the public school arena. And I'm kind of a safe way to go in there. They can still have that homeschool feel, but know that we'll take care of the curriculum dollars. It costs nothing to come to us. We're a public school. If you are on your own as a homeschool parent in buying a curriculum, online curriculum, you're paying for it. Not with us. We take care of all of that. Give you a Chromebook. Here's the curriculum. We're all going to work together. And it felt really good through the community having parents just stop by. Hey, I heard, you know, church was yesterday. I heard about this. You know, can I come in and talk to you? Like, absolutely. Come on by and we'll explain what we do and see if it matches with what you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, and I think that the proof will be in the pudding, so to speak, as we get to the end of the school year and we see how these students that are in your program, how they're doing. And I think a lot of us, we have to remember, some of these kids would be potentially dropouts, not because they're bad students or bad kids, but because of their situation. Again, we talked about kids that are having to work to help support their family. It makes school secondary, not because they want it to be, but because they don't have a choice. They need to help support their family. But if we see positive, if we can see some positive results from students like that, that are able to continue their education yet still meet the needs of their family, to me, it would be well worthwhile, even if the numbers don't match up perfectly. You know, you said at about 30 students, well, we're breaking even, but I would probably lean to the side that, well, if we're reining in some kids and getting them an education that they wouldn't have already gotten under the normal circumstances, it's probably a good thing. And it's got to be tough, I would imagine, in a small district like this, because if you think of the next closest large district, let's say Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. Grants Pass not only has the advantage of, because there's more students, there's more funding, they could do a program like this and almost could ignore the financials of it because they could sustain it fine without worrying too much about the financials. But at the same time, they don't need a program like this near as much as a district like Rogue River, because I look at my own kids. I mean, my son trying to work out his work schedule, mm-hmm. but still get in his practices for cross country, still get in all the classes he needs. Certain classes are only offered one time during the day, and he's stuck taking that class at that time, where if he was in a district like Grants Pass, he might have three or four choices for that class. And so the challenge of a smaller district also creates the larger need, I think, for a school like such as the one that you're running.
I agree, and you gave, you know, great example there when we've tried to again work with the Department of Ed and like, well, when are you offering, you know, eighth grade math? Like, all the time? You know, a student doesn't have to take it at a time. Here are your classes. Let's look at the assignments. Let's devise a plan. All our students know exactly when the assignments are, when quizzes are. They come in for quizzes and tests. You know, that's kind of a mandatory. But it is that flexibility of when they're going to work on it. And you're exactly right. When it comes to, you know, the numbers, and again, I brought up that break even just to, you know, we were fiscally sound, and we had that responsibility to the citizens of Rogue River. At the same time, we want to do what's best for students. And our numbers, and I'm really thankful to the school board. They've been very supportive of this concept and where we're headed for the year or two. So, yeah, our numbers might, you know, and there's certain numbers that communities like to look at. Four-year graduation rate, fifth-year graduation rate, completion. Those types of numbers. I am not going to look very hard at our four-year graduation rate at all. We have quite a few students that are referred to as super seniors. They ended their 12th grade, one credit, two credit, three credits short. But they value the regular diploma, not a modified, not a GED. They know that a regular high school diploma is going to continue to move them forward in their life, and they want it. But what are their options? Well, we're fortunate in Oregon. The Department of Ed acknowledges that also and will say, we will continue funding for those students up through the age of 20. So I've got a number of students that are working all day. I just need these two credits. What can I do? Well, come in, sit with us. We'll devise a plan for you. Now, that makes my four-year graduation rate look pretty not stellar.
Yeah.
But we're serving the needs of that population. We're moving them forward in their life. And our completion rate towards a diploma will be great. So, and the school board knows that, and they support that, and but it's getting that word out to the community. Okay, when we look at the numbers, let's look at what we're trying to do, really, overall, and are we doing it?
Yeah, and I find it interesting that these individual students are seeing the need and the having the desire to get, as you mentioned, that normal regular diploma and not some sort of you know, I don't even know how to term it,
but alternative
yeah. diploma. And I think in today's world, in today's job world, it's probably more important than ever because, you know, we're looking at, you know, as good as it is to have a college degree, the general, you know, bachelor's degree today is in certain areas is becoming almost meaningless without a master's or without at least specializing in a certain thing. I even know with my own daughter that, you know, she was a, you know, really good student and she put herself through college and she has a degree in a field that she's not currently working in. Mm-hmm. And not that it doesn't help her at all, but it really does very little to further her career because her degree, you know, was not in the area she's working. But when it comes to the high school diploma, you can do almost nothing without a high school diploma. And so I would salute these kids that recognize,
oh, absolutely.
You know, I want my regular diploma. I don't want to settle for some sort of alternative, you know, arrangement.
Well, and another phrase we love to use for students is do not choose long-term solutions for a short-term problem. Two credits short, that's a short-term problem.
Yeah.
Don't choose a long-term solution of not getting your diploma to solve this short-term problem. We also have are developing a really strong partnership with Rogue Community College in their early college program so that we can offer those dual credit. We're a firm believer in college and certifications. So those students that may not be four-year college bound, but saying, you know, I have a real interest or aptitude in diesel mechanics. So we can help support that by this relationship with RCC. Hey, we'll pay for you to go take this RCC class that'll help you towards your certification and also count for your high school credits you need for your diploma. Dual credits, but honoring that you know, not everybody's going to get their 4 year, but boy, if you can walk out with certifications, it's going to get you an entry level job at a very decent livable wage. We're going to help you do that also.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned the word certifications. Now, we were talking more of in the trades, but mm-hmm. I know, for instance, with someone like Dave Ramsey, his entire organization, the biggest or the most hires that he has within his organization are in IT. Mm-hmm. And he has said he preferred someone that actually doesn't have a 4 year degree in IT, because the things they learned the first couple of years don't apply anymore because it changes so quick. He's more than happy to have college graduates, don't get me wrong, but he wants people that are up to date on their certifications.
Absolutely.
for Microsoft and for, you know, Apple and whatever. I don't
yeah.
pretend to know all the names of the certifications that go with IT, and if you seen what I do on social media, you would know I'm not very not very up on my IT, but it's an interesting thing because those certifications in his case is what are more important to who he hires. Now, in the case of someone like Dave Ramsey, he also wants them to fit the culture of their business, but again, it shows you there's a whole range of things that are out there depending on what your needs are, what your interests are.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have the kids from the FFA program on the show on a regular basis. And I would imagine a lot of those kids don't necessarily need a 4 year degree within the field that they want to go after. You mentioned things like welding and mm-hmm. other stuff like that. You don't necessarily, you'd probably be better served to get an apprenticeship somewhere mm-hmm. and start learning, you know, the on-the-job training. And
right.
I know I worked years ago in the hydraulic business, and I probably could have taken some college courses that were related to that, but a four-year degree, there wasn't really a four-year degree for me to learn
right.
that. It was on-the-job training.
Right.
And fortunately, it was my father's business, so the on-the-job training was, you better learn this if you want to sleep under my roof. But but seriously, so this school lends itself to that type of a student that
absolutely
is maybe not always the traditional, you're going to go to a 4 year college and you're going to get a degree and life's going to be all, you know, roses and sunshine.
And student debt.
Life is not always that way.
Right.
And
well, and I think that, you know, the point in the state of Oregon, the people of Oregon realize with career and technical ed, CTE, they'll call it Measure 98. That those career and technical ed dollars are important for students leaving high school. Where are you headed? It's all about what's the next step? Is it 4 year? Is it a 2 year? Is it certifications within that? Then how do we join that with what you're currently doing in a high school? And they're great partnerships. I'm really proud to be a part of that.
Yeah, so let's kind of recap things. Again, I'm talking to Morgan Cottle. He's the principal and sounds like kind of the CEO of
it's
of
a startup. This is how it feels often.
South Valley Academy. It's the newest school within the Rogue River School District. You're currently housed, you said, at the West Campus, Elementary West Campus?
Correct, and we are fairly confident by January 1 we will have a new location.
Yeah, so
more to follow.
Well, and that's a good update because I think I mentioned several weeks back that we thought we had a location, and as you mentioned, Morgan, that it kind of fell through.
Mm-hmm.
And disregard what I told you a couple of months ago. We don't have a location, but it sounds like we're about a week away from possibly pinning one down.
Correct.
And that would be excellent news. And we can all kind of determine where that might be, but we won't announce that until it's official.
You'll be one of the first to know when it's official. You can spread the word. We'd love to have people come by.
So absolutely. And again, this is it's a public school, not a charter school, and it meets the needs of students with special needs. And I don't mean special needs in the special education form, but unique needs, whether the system of a regular 7-hour school day doesn't fit their personality, I hate to get into the medical terms, but we'll use this just for an example. Maybe they're ADHD, maybe they're, you know, have other challenges that they can't make it through a 7-hour school day, this arrangement would help them. But it also helps students that maybe are really advanced in certain subjects and can't get the level of learning within the regular system. So it sounds like a pretty versatile school.
It's a good word for it. Yeah.
It's pretty exciting to see this kind of, you know, coming about, and the fact that you've grown it so quicker probably than Paul would have wanted. But I'm looking forward to see what, you know, some of the results of this are. And so is there any other things I missed that we want to cover?
No, I'd love to come back, you know, let's say January, and kind of give you an update of where we are and you know, the numbers we're serving and how we continue to go. But I appreciate the opportunity to inform the community of Rogue River what we're doing, and excited to be part of the Rogue River School District.
Yeah, and I'm happy to have you here, and I'm definitely happy to have you back. I'd love to get an update later in the school year, and that goes to Jamie and Chris. We'll definitely have them back to see how things are going, and it's been a lot of change within the district. Of course, even with Jamie and Chris taking new jobs this year, and now we have a new school. And
it's good things. Rogue River School District has been real innovative and really wants to serve the community well, and I think we're making great decisions and doing a good job.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think things are getting better every year, and that's all you can ask.
You bet.
So, well, thank you again for coming in.
Thank you.
And we will take a break here and be back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. President Trump says he could consider sanctions against Saudi Arabia over missing Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Trump told reporters after signing a presidential memo in Arizona today that he'll involve Congress in any decision, but he says he'll be making certain recommendations. He says it's still too early to determine potential consequences, but we expect to know more by Monday. He says we're going to find out who knew what, when, and where, and we will figure it out. Afghanistan's election commission has postponed Saturday's election in Kandahar province for a week following that deadly attack there that killed at least two senior provincial officials, including its powerful police chief. On Wall Street, the Dow ending up 65 to 25,444. NASDAQ closing down 36 to 74.49, and S&P down 1 to 27.68. You're listening to SRN News.
Is there a day that's special to you? Become a day sponsor for 94.3 The Bridge. Day sponsors support the broadcasting efforts of KRRC with a donation of $20. And on the day you select, we announce on the radio why that day is special to you. Is it someone's birthday, anniversary, or any other day that's special to you? To become a day sponsor, call 541-582-0457 or click one-time donation under the Donate tab of 943thebridge.com.
Your station for Rogue River News, weather, and talk radio that matters. 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With an SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. The Treasury Secretary will not attend an investment conference in Saudi Arabia.
The International Monetary Fund and World Bank presidents were among those who already pulled out of next week's Summit of the World's Business Elite, and Treasury
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will not go either, tweeting simply he will not be participating without offering any details. His announcement comes after Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said here at the White House that the Trump administration will wait to see results of investigations into journalist Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance before deciding whether to respond.
That's correspondent Sagar Magani. Secretary Mnuchin's announcement added a downward pull to the markets, along with the EU concerns about Italy's budget and ongoing worries about U.S.-China trade. On a red day, the S&P was off 40, the Dow down 327, the NASDAQ off 157. With SRN Business, I'm George Manzani.
Hey, what's that coming down the track? It's the Rogue Express. Rogue Express in Rogue River is an underwriter of 94.3 The Bridge. Located at 180 Classic Drive, the Rogue Express can make any kind of coffee you can think of, hot or cold. They even serve many flavors of fruit smoothies. You'll find them right next to the railroad tracks on Classic Drive. Thank you to Rogue Express, providing your cup of coffee today.
Back to Rogue Talk, and I want to take this opportunity once again to thank Morgan Cottle for coming in and telling us all about South Valley Academy. We've got some exciting stuff going on in our schools, and this new school is a big part of that, and we're happy to promote it here on Rogue Talk. So let's take a look at what's going on around town and around the school heading into this next week. Of course, tonight is the third Friday of the month, which means it is time for the community center dinner. Tonight will be Sean's Stew, and it's sponsored by Windermere Real Estate. And $7 for adults, $3.50 for kids age 10 and under, and that dinner starts at 5 o'clock at the community center. So, community center dinner time once again tonight. So also next week is Spirit Week at the high school, and that's leading up to homecoming. Of course, the homecoming game will be next Friday night. Chieftains will be hosting Reedsport, and then Saturday will be the homecoming dance. So it's an exciting week over at the high school with Spirit Week and homecoming coming up next week. So let's get back over to the sports. Girls soccer will finish up their season this coming week. They will play tomorrow, 1 o'clock at Lakeview. And then Wednesday, they will host Illinois Valley at 7 p.m. And that will be following the boys' game. The boys will also be hosting Lakeview on Wednesday. Their game will be at 4:30, so back-to-back soccer games on Wednesday to close out the season. Before that, the boys will also play Monday at U.S. Cellular Fields against Rogue Valley Adventist Academy, and that game will be at 3:30 again at U.S. Cellular Fields. Now, the boys' soccer team is third in the conference, but they're 13th in the state, so if they can keep that high ranking, I believe, and don't quote me 100% on this, but they've got a shot at making the playoffs with an at-large bid into the playoffs. Now, that, again, there's a lot of factors go into that. I can't go through all of that here, but boys soccer with a good shot at possibly getting into the playoffs. Unfortunately, it looks like the girls' season will be over after this week. We mentioned that the volleyball season is now complete. Cross country, they have their district meet at Valley of the Rogue on Thursday, and we have competitors in the girls JV and the boys varsity. Girls JV race will be at 1:30. Boys varsity will be at 3:30. And we have at least one runner that is in contention to make it to state. It's going to be a tough battle. There's been some pretty good times put up in the district recently, but we'll see how things go this coming Thursday. And finally, football needs to win out to have any shot at the playoffs, and even then it's going to be a tough one. They're going to need some help to get into the playoffs, but that starts tonight. They travel to Lost River, and that game will be at 7 o'clock. Our broadcast here on 94.3 The Bridge will be starting at 6:50 with the pregame, and again, a 7 o'clock kickoff for that game. And so that's going to do it for today. And again, one more thank you to Morgan Cottle for coming on the show today. And what do I always say? Be good to one another, because Road Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.